Hello, and I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn with Lighthouse Church. We are going through the book of Genesis today in our series here at the Lighthouse Podcast. Last week, we were in chapter 35, and that was when we dealt with that section of Scripture that dealt with Dinah's violation and Jacob's hesitation, I guess, on his response to that, which led to his sons, Simeon and Levi, their kind of overreaction and taking matters into their own hands, and which ended up in the murder of the men of Shechem and the plundering of their possessions and people. And so a huge overreaction, not that the violation of Dinah, their sister, was inconsequential, but this left Jacob to once again have to pull up stakes for fear of his life because of the potential reaction of the citizens of the area, because there had previously been this agreement that his sons had violated. So we see Jacob on the move again, being directed by God to travel back to this place that was previously called Luz. Jacob had called that place Bethel, meaning house of God. And so Jacob is traveling there again at the behest of God, at God's instruction. And here, God would bless Abraham once again, and this is where Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And the culmination of the meaning of this name is this idea of his wrestling with God and his subsequent bringing himself under the authority of God. And so it loosely means he is a prince of God, and so Israel. And when we know from before, and we'll see it again, that any El addition or prefix means God, and it's a talking referring to the God of the Bible. And so, once Jacob gets back to Bethel, he calls the place El Bethel, meaning God of the house of God. And so, what Jacob is doing is really recognizing and leaning into the sovereignty of God in leading him to this place. And so, but this journey has taken a while, and the years are adding up now. And, you know, Jacob and his traveling companions and family, they're getting older, and Deborah, who is Rebekah's nurse, dies. And soon Rachel would die, giving birth to Benjamin. And with this Rachel, who we know is not the favored wife, she's having a great deal of struggle in her childbirth, perhaps knowing that she won't make it through the childbirth, desires to name her last child Ben-Oni, and that means son of my sorrow. And so this is really kind of another tragic moment here where Rachel is seen as she's carried this sorrow with her entire marriage of not being the favored one, and now on her deathbed wanting to sort of perpetuate that that sorrow into the world. However, Jacob, he names him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. And so the right hand is seen as the hand of strength and of power and of loyalty. And so it was much better for him to be named Benjamin. And also it was a much better legacy for Rachel rather than having her last son be named son of my sorrow and perpetuate this sorrow. And so then we get into, again, it seems to be just this culmination of peaks and valleys and highs and lows, and we see another low point here with the first son, Reuben. And so for reasons that aren't given, Reuben sins greatly by sleeping with Bilhah. And we remember that Bilhah was Rachel's handmaiden, and she had been given to Jacob by Rachel to bear a son, and she bore Dan and Naphtali. And so Reuben is sleeping with his brother's mother. And so that's kind of like beyond the pale. It's again, there's no reason given for that other than just kind of showing the depths of depravity in man. And in the last couple of chapters, we've seen now three of Jacob's sons kind of disqualify themselves from being able to kind of carry on the blessing, or at least be the lineage that the blessing would come through, right? This blessing of the promise that there would be one who would crush the head of the serpent, right? The Messiah. So we're still tracking that promise from the very beginning, and it's Abraham's family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then one of Jacob's sons will continue this promise to have the one who will crush the serpent's head come from his line. But Levi, Simeon, and now Reuben have all proven themselves unworthy of that designation. And so, it's another point in the chapter here that we see. It's almost surprising as I was studying through this. I'm like, oh, Isaac is still alive, and he has been this whole time. You know, the last time we saw Isaac was about 20 years ago, a few chapters ago, when we assume that he was on his deathbed when he gave the blessing to Jacob instead of Esau, which set off kind of Jacob's running, if you will. But Jacob's held on, and he's dying, and he finally dies at the youthful young age of 180, which brings about a second reunion for Esau and Jacob, and this time it's to bury their father. And so this chapter's got a lot, and it's kind of a roller coaster, but we can be encouraged that it's God's faithfulness that we're looking for, right? Not our own. We're not to look to somebody else, another human, for their faithfulness, and certainly not our own, although the God highly favors faithfulness. And faithfulness is something that we should aspire to in the things that we're called to, especially in serving the Lord. But we're not to count on that in others because we see that it's only God who's truly faithful ultimately, right? So despite our sinful nature, God still provides a way for his plan to come to pass. And that's the other thing that we see here, right? Is that especially with Isaac, right? Isaac, we had presumed dead, I guess, but Acts 17:26 reminds us that the Lord, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places. So the time in which we live and where we live is determined by the Lord. And so certainly our lifespan is in his hands. And so the bottom line, the thing that we can take to heart and be encouraged with, is that God is faithful even when humanity isn't, and even when we aren't, right? And so no matter where you find yourself, whether you're young, you know, or old, or even young in the Lord or old in the Lord, God, he's planned it all out. He's sovereign over it all, and he's going to work his plan through it despite all of our efforts to mess it up. And so until next week, stay encouraged and stay in the Word.